At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Nothing says welcome home like a hidden body in the basement. It's Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
The Curious Case of Natalia Grace. We're on the third season of it now. I was unaware of that until the other day, but here we are, and it's the final chapter, at least according to the producers as of right now. Natalia Grace, the Ukrainian adoptee that was brought in by Michael and Christine Barnett, adopting her, believing her to be a 6-year-old orphan from the Ukraine. Shortly thereafter, they thought she has to be older. They made claims that when they picked her up to adopt her, took her, give her a bath, and there was pubic hair on this 6-year-old, and they're thinking, oh my gosh, and she is a little person. Maybe she's much older than she says she is. And it went to claims of abuse. It went to claims of all sorts of things. Her holding a knife over the family late at night. Eventually, they changed her age to 22 and put her in an apartment and kind of washed their hands of her, to say the least. Eventually, another family comes in, adopts her, and that is the man's family. A very, very culty religious family that then ended up raising Natalia for the next 10 years. Chapter 3, the final chapter, that's where it's picking up right now. It is on Max On Demand, also Discovery Plus on ID. It's a twisted story. I know you've seen the beginning of it, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. As we enter into the final piece of this story, I don't know that Natalia is ever really going to find happiness, or there's going to be a rainbow at the end of the tunnel. And I've seen the whole story. I've seen how this one ended. I don't know. This is someone who's been abused, I think, horribly throughout her life in a lot of weird ways. And now we have cameras following, and probably not the best way to find healing.
No, for sure. And, you know, part of my job is getting to the bottom of it. And I swear, in this case, I cannot get to the bottom of it. It's so difficult to ascertain exactly what the facts are. How old was this woman? What did she engage in or not engage in? You know, there are all sorts of allegations of violent conduct, of sexual conduct. That seems to cut against some other information about her clear immaturity, physically and otherwise. And then, like you mentioned, she has just been through so much suffering, which adds another complexion to this already extremely complicated and harrowing case.
I think at the end of this, when I watched the final chapter, because it goes into the man's family and showing how they got along over the years. And it looks like a very strict, lot of accusations of abuse. They're even caught on camera. Antoine is caught on camera talking about getting a belt. But they didn't realize they had a hot mic on. I hope to God they're investigated. And if they're not already, I tried to do a little research on that after watching it, and it was hard to find any information. But it's a foster family, fosters a lot of kids. And then he kind of created his own church and calls himself a bishop because it makes him feel special. And demands to be called bishop by those around him. But clearly, this is a money thing. The question that was asked when finally the DePaul family, which is one of the original families that was interested in Natalia when she was a child, finally steps in. They've kind of kept track of her and have been communicating, and she's pleading to get away from the man's. They pick her up outside of a church one night and basically run away with her. She's not a child anymore. She's in her 20s. First thing Natalia does is then calls back the man family and I'm good. I'm safe. And the next question that comes out of the man's is, well, do we still get your check? That's the biggest concern from the families. Yeah, do we still get your check?
Certainly may give a glimpse into what their motivations are. And when you look at this foster care system, there are some absolute saints there who are dedicated to helping vulnerable children who have just been discarded. On the other hand, there are hustlers in there. There are people who are trying to game the system. And they're using human beings as pawns to do that. And so into what category do these different families fall? It's sometimes hard to say for sure, but absolutely some red flags when we talk about these allegations of abuse and possible financial motives.
Yeah, I mean, it spells it out. I mean, obviously it's television, it's a documentary, so they can kind of clip it how they need. But seriously, I would hope that someone would be looked at or looked into after at least the allegations that were presented on that are out there. Natalia, at the end of the day, saying that she's happy with her new life, that she's trying to get accustomed to this new family, but it seems every once in a while it goes to chaos. I think when I look back on this, what I was trying to say earlier is, what if it's all true? Not necessarily that she was 22 when she got here, but everything else. The craziness of the Barnett family. Abuse there, weirdness on both sides, one not protecting, one going overboard. You get to the Mann family, you swing it back the other way, and you go into weird religiosity and abuse there. And then you put into the fact that she was an orphan, so you don't have that sort of connection at all. And then you have a family that is actually wanting to love you. That kid doesn't know any better. And I say kid, yeah, she's in her 20s now, but you're talking about someone with a mindset that is simply to survive. It's hard to get to the bottom, but at the end of the day, I think it's all true. And eventually you make a monster. I think Natalia hopefully can be healed, but yeah, she's kind of a monster and has probably engaged in most of the accusations that have been made against her. But that's what abused children do.
Yeah, there's certainly some understanding that you glean or that you begin to have after hearing her story. You know, by some accounts, she was just abandoned by herself as not only a child, but a disabled child. And in what seemed to be not the most wholesome, you know, apartment complex based on the prior installments of the series.
Yeah.
And so that's going to have an effect on a person. And on top of that, you add on all of the suffering, alleged corporal abuse, that kind of thing. No wonder she's having a difficult time in this new family.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's I think the only thing that is painful to watch is the thing itself, is this the damn show. And obviously America likes it. The world likes these sort of things. We like to look into this, and I'm sure there's compensation that was given and all of that. But is this something that should be litigated? I mean, does it make it right? I mean, you have producers that are going to kind of steer things and put people into conflicting situations that are not healthy. And for a while, you know, she was underage. I mean, we have these issues, you know, look at John and K+8. Look at, there's advocacy going on right now for the mommy blogger, the daughter of Ruby Frankie, that's trying to get legislation passed for minors in these situations where basically the lives are being exploited by the attention-hungry mom or dad. And in this case, it was more so an attention-hungry production company that said, this will be great TV. They're right. It was great TV. We're sitting here talking about it right now. But should there be more restrictions so this sort of thing can't go on? Because at the end of the day, I think TV ended up abusing her just as much as the other people.
Yeah, you know, it was great TV, but at what cost? Yeah. I was watching that. There's another docuseries on Netflix about the Jerry Springer Show. Yeah. And, you know, one perspective is like, hey, we're just showing the reality of something that is not mainstream that people don't usually see. Mm-hmm. On the other side, there are real human beings with real problems who felt that they've been exploited, not to their own benefit, yeah, but to the benefit of really production. And so, you know, are there restrictions that need to be put in place? Is there possible legal avenues to explore? You know, she was allegedly a minor when a lot of this was going on. Usually what that means is that your caretaker, your guardian, just gets to make all the decisions for you.
Yeah.
And when the guardian is aligned with the production company, does that give rise to some sort of actionable legal conflict of interest that needs to be remedied? Maybe.
It almost feels like, yes, it's abuse, but because it's on camera, it's okay. Because somebody's going to make money on it, that makes it legal. And in kind of a weird way, it does. And I don't know. It's cringy to watch this stuff, but we all do. And I know we talk about it. And I hope in some way it maybe opens up more awareness to situations that people can be in that are crazy, so they don't feel so crazy, and maybe things can be done to fix those better. I guess that's the silver lining we like to tell ourselves when we watch this stuff. But it is still kind of like, yeah, there's a lot of kids that walk out of this stuff that have a lot of problems. I mean, look at Gypsy Rose, look at, all the shows that have come out over those years.
Oh, of Duggars. Course. And, you know, it reminds me of when I was in undergrad and I was pursuing a psychology degree, and there was a school shooting that happened nationally. And I remember my psychology professor said, you know, I kind of justify to myself that I'm really into this coverage because I'm a psychologist. And I want to explore the inner workings of what was going on psychologically. But on the other hand, am I just some sort of like, you know, a consumer of exploitative content because it gives me a thrill and it likes and I like it. I think that we all have to kind of be mindful and be responsible consumers. Doesn't mean we can't watch that stuff,
yeah,
but I think that these are issues that have to be front of mind and they aren't always.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The new McCrispy Strip is here. Dip approved by ketchup, tangy barbecue, honey mustard, Sprite, McFlurry, Big Mac sauce, double dipped in buffalo and ranch, more ranch, and creamy chili McCrispy Strip Dip. Now at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it. That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council. What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.